look I've been looking forward to tonight. We've had some great speakers in here over the past couple years. We've had Elaine Homer and Reverend Bobby Jean Merck and Woody Woodson and several others, but there's no man or woman on this planet I'm honored to have behind this pulpit but than the one that's about to step behind you. Amen. Pastor Callan has been my pastor since 1987. Amen. My spiritual father. And now the apostle of Grace Ministries. And I know when he steps behind his pulpit tonight, he's going to speak straight into us. Amen. And so stand your feet with me. Let's welcome the man of God. Pastor.
You get used to some of those microphone switches, and then when you get a different one, you lost. Well, you look good tonight. Look like you're ready for word and ready to walk in victory. Man, it's good to be in out of the rain, isn't it? And then it's good to be in the rain, the kind of rain that we want. Amen. Well, you may be seated. Praise the Lord. It's good to serve God, isn't it? Aren't you glad you're a Christian? Amen. Amen. It's just a good time to be alive and a good time to be serving God. I don't think there's been a better day to serve God ever than there is right now. Amen. We just have such a privilege, such an honor to walk with God and to serve God and to be a child of God. Seems like there's so much to do. So many areas, and God is starting to open doors more and more, and who knows what we'll be doing 5 years from now, 10 years from now. We used to talk about a day when we would see God working and moving like He's working and moving today, and we're in that day, hallelujah, and it's just going to keep increasing and getting better and better, till Jesus comes back again. And when He comes back again, what a day that will be. Amen? Rise to meet the Lord in the air and spend forever with Him. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to be here. Always enjoy coming to Georgetown, and we enjoy being with you folk and seeing what God is doing with you and in you and through you. And we love and appreciate Pastor Jack and Patty and their girls. They're a blessing to us, and we love and appreciate them. I know you do as well. I say I know you do as well. Now, I thought it could be a little stronger there. Amen. I snuck up on you, didn't I? Well, I see we have a couple of home folk with us today. The Brills are here tonight. So They're going to hear some of what they've heard before in this message tonight, but I feel like it's a word that God has given me. I've been just kind of going back and forth between a couple of things that I want to preach tonight. But here lately, the Lord has opened up some area to me of understanding that I just love it. It's so neat how God puts things in the Word of God. And sometimes you get bits and pieces of it, and then when you start getting more of it, it's just kind of fun to see it open up and to see all there is, or at least a lot more of what there is in that area of the Word of God. So what did I just say? You have no idea, right? I'm saying that we're going into an area where we're going to open up some more of the Word of God. Jesus, on several occasions, when he's talking to his disciples, teaching his disciples about faith, used the mustard seed as his illustration of faith. The first time over in Luke chapter 17, if you want to turn over there, Luke chapter 17, Jesus is engaged in teaching his disciples about kingdom principles. In chapter 16, he taught about Lazarus and the rich man, where the Lazarus died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. Rich man died and lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torment. Remember that story, right? You know that there's, when we look at that story, there's something that doesn't add up about it. First of all, it's not a parable. It's been taught as a parable by many for years, but it is not a parable. Jesus is telling a story. And he said, there was a man. And he identifies, then he even gives the man's name, this poor man. And you know, when you look at it, something seems bad about it, that the one who is a believer, who served God, how do we know he served God? Because he went to heaven, went to paradise. And he's the beggar. And the other man is not a godly man. He ends up going to hell, but he's a rich man. Now, why is it that this man was a beggar? Well, we got a good platform there to preach on poverty and being poor, that God will bless you if you're poor. And this man went to heaven because he's poor. That isn't why he was poor. If you read the passage there, it says, and Lazarus desiring to eat the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. That was the level of his desire. And because that was the level of his desire, that was the level of what he walked in. You've got to get your desire, your faith, your expectancy higher in God if you want to start living higher in God. Many believers, if I just can catch up on my bills, I'd be happy. Well, that's not a place to, if that's the ultimate goal you have, you don't have a goal for very much victory. Amen? Not when God promises wealth and riches will be in your house. God promises victory and so on. So you can't get yourself stuck in that. I didn't mean to preach on that. It just came out. That was in chapter 16. And then going over here into chapter 17, that Jesus is talking along. He's teaching. And the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. In other words, they want a faith shot. They want to understand, how do we get our faith to be the kind of faith that you have, our faith to be at the level where your faith is? And this is what Jesus answered in chapter 17, verse 6. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now, if I'm thinking of miracles, and I'm thinking of miracles that would be the highest level of miracle, certainly commanding a big tree to be plucked up by the roots and planted in water would be at least a number 10 miracle on a scale of 1 to 10. Because trees don't even stand up in water, let alone grow in water. But he said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to that tree, be plucked up, planted, and it would obey you, right? So he's telling us something here about how faith increases, or what we do to grow in faith. Because that's the question, increase our faith. Now, when Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, his disciples asked, remember that they had been trying to cast the demons out of that boy, and they were unsuccessful. So the father brought the boy to Jesus and said, your disciples couldn't cast him out, will you? And Jesus cast him out immediately. And the disciples came over to Jesus after everybody was gone and said, Lord, why couldn't we cast him out? And look at what Jesus says, Matthew 17 and verse number 20. Matthew 17 and verse number 20. Matthew. We already did Luke. We did Luke 17:6. This is Matthew 17:20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Now, isn't that interesting? When they said, Lord, why couldn't we cast them out? Jesus said, it's because of your unbelief. You know how popular that is in Christianity? When you're talking to somebody that didn't win their victory and they say, I don't understand why I didn't win my victory. And you say, well, because your faith wasn't strong enough, or because of your unbelief, they probably attack you. I mean, they will flat out get angry at you for suggesting their faith isn't at a high enough level to get their victory. But if you don't diagnose it, you can't fix it. And it's important for us to understand that if we walk in strong faith, the stronger our faith, the bigger our miracles. And there isn't any miracle that you can't see accomplished if your faith is strong enough. So if I didn't get that victory, it wasn't because God changed his mind. It wasn't because the word doesn't work. It's because my faith hasn't gotten to that level of strength that it needs to be to get that victory. So the first thing Jesus said is, it's because of your unbelief. For if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and what? And nothing. Now, have you ever looked up that word nothing? I mean, search it out in the Greek, because this is written in Greek originally. And in the Greek, that word nothing means nothing. Amen? No thing. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. So it lets us know that if our faith grows as a grain of mustard seed, then there isn't anything that will be impossible to us. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I don't care what kind of sickness it is, what kind of pain you have. I don't care what kind of infirmity is in your body. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what your financial... We use that expression, I do care, but it doesn't matter. Maybe that's the way I should say it, right? It doesn't matter what your sickness is, what your financial pressure is, what your bills are. None of that matters as far as the ability to see it accomplished when your faith is at that level. So he says, again, a sycamine tree plucked up by the root, planted in the sea, a mountain moved over to another spot if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. So apparently, this mustard seed faith is something that we need to understand, we need to grow in, and we need some revelation knowledge on. All right? Jesus actually explained it to his disciples that everything in the kingdom of God is like a grain of mustard seed. Let's go to that in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And let's go down to verse number 30. Jesus said, "Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it?" Jesus has been teaching all through this chapter. He's been teaching about the kingdom of God, what the kingdom of God is like, how it works, how it functions. And he stops here, I just picture Jesus as he's saying, well, how can I explain to you what the kingdom of God is like? And then it comes to him, and he says in verse 31, it's like a grain of mustard seed. Well, isn't that what he said our faith needs to be? Isn't that what he told us? We could move a mountain, we could pluck up a sycamine tree and plant it in the water. And what is it that he's talking about? It's this faith, this mustard seed faith. He says it is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up. It becomes greater than all the herbs and shooteth out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Let me share this thought with you. There are those that will say the mustard seed is not the smallest of the seeds. Now, if you ever see a mustard seed, it really is tiny. Say, well, oh, I've seen that. I've got some jewelry at home with mustard seed in it. You know that acrylic or whatever it is they put it in actually magnifies it? I mean, it is a little bitty seed, but there are smaller seeds. And someone will say, well, if God says that's the smallest of the seeds, Jesus said that, and there are smaller seeds, then he's not telling the truth. And if he's not telling the truth about that, how can we believe anything that he says? Well, you got to back up and realize he's talking to Palestinian farmers. And the smallest of the seeds that they planted in that time, in that area, was the mustard seed. A little bitty seed that they would plant in the earth. Now, it is obvious to us from what we've read in these three passages of Scripture that what he's talking about first and foremost is the little bitty seed that starts out and the tremendous potential of growth that it has. Now, there are three kinds of mustard seed. There's the black mustard seed, the white mustard seed, the brown mustard seed. Palestine in that day had the black mustard seed, which would actually grow anywhere from 12 to 15 foot high. Now that's considerably higher than this ceiling. So it starts out in that little bit of a seed, but it has the potential to grow higher than this ceiling and become the plant. Actually, is like a tree that the birds can come and lodge in its branches. So the emphasis that Jesus is giving to us is the potential growth in everything in the kingdom of God. When you got born again, everything about your life was mustard seed. You were a brand new baby in Jesus. You were a brand new child in God. Everything was potential within you. You had potential to walk in the love of God, agape love. You had potential to have the joy of the Lord. You had potential to have all of those things working in your life that is in God and in His nature. The mustard seed has that ability to just grow and become very strong, very strong, very big. Go with me to Romans chapter 12 and verse number 3. Romans 12, 3. Hallelujah. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now here we have a passage of scripture that again is misunderstood by many. What some will take this to say is that, now pastor is a pastor, he ministers, he prays for the sick, he has a lot to do in the things of God. So God has given him a sizable measure of faith so that he can be effective in that. Here's another person that they don't have as much to do in God, so God gives them a different measure. And then somebody that has an international ministry, a Reinhard Bonnke, God has given them a great big measure of faith, but God has given to every man measure of faith. That's not what it's talking about. It's telling us that God has given to every one of us the measure of faith. What kind of measure? Mustard seed. Every one of us has received mustard seed level of faith. Now, the thing you must understand is that God is not talking, Jesus isn't talking here about all you need is that little bit of faith. I hear some great faith teachers teach about that little bit of faith is all you need. And if you have that little bit of faith and use it, there's nothing impossible to you. Well, if a little bit of faith is all you need, then why did Jesus reprimand them when they had a little bit of faith? He got after her. He said, oh, you have little faith. He should have said, oh, you have little faith. Good going. You can move mountains with that little bit of faith. But he doesn't. The one that he compliments is the one that has great faith, not the one who has little faith. So he's not talking to us here about all you need is a little bit of faith. He is saying that we have that mustard seed measure of faith in us that has potential to grow into such a huge growth in our lives that there's nothing that will be impossible unto us. Boy, I like that. I like it. I like it. I like it. That's what I want in my life. Now you know that he says in here, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. What is he talking about, every man? He isn't talking about every man. He's talking about every believer. How do I know that? Because go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 2. Hallelujah. It says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Now, the Lord tells us very clearly that everybody doesn't have faith. And who is it that doesn't have it? Wicked and unreasonable men. Or in other words, those that are not born again. Well, let's talk about that for just a moment. The person out here who's not serving God has natural faith. They have faith that if they do certain things, they'll get this response. They got a good car. They have faith that when they go out, they don't say, well, I need to go get my car running because it might not start. They got a brand new car and it's in good shape. They have faith that it'll start. That's why they leave at the last minute, right? We have faith in a lot of things. But this is talking about the God kind of faith. The Bible, Jesus told them in Mark 11:22, have the faith of God or have the God kind of faith. Now, when we were born again, we received the nature of God on the inside of us. Go to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Galatians 5:22. Are you with me? I love this thing. I'll tell you what. You see, it's so important for us that we keep moving in there more and more, understanding faith. And the Bible says, I'll hit on this stronger later, but the Bible says faith cometh. Faith is never stationary. You're either moving forward in faith and growing in faith, or you're going backward. And it is important for us that we're progressing, that we're moving forward in faith, and that our faith is developing and growing more and more all the time. Amen. So that's why it's important for us to study this. And when we can see it in a different light and see new things about it and get understanding about it, it makes all the difference in the world for us to increase and grow, because faith cometh by hearing it and hearing that revelation of the Word of God. He says here in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is. Now, this is singular. The fruit of the Spirit. Fruit is singular. And now he names nine things. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. If you have a modern translation, that third one to the end says something to the effect of faithful or faithfulness. But it's the Greek word pistis, which is the word for faith. And it's telling us that we have the fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is these nine things. Now, is singular, right? Some of you had heard me go through some of this before, but for those who haven't, I want to explain it. If I brought an orange with me tonight, I would have one piece of fruit. But in that fruit, I would have the peeling, I'd have the juice, I'd have the pulp, I'd have the seeds, I'd have all parts of that fruit, and yet it's one fruit. When you got born again, the Holy Spirit came into you and brought within you the nature of God, so that everything that God is on the inside of you. And you receive the measure of love, the measure of joy, the measure of peace, right on down to the measure of faith that's on the inside of you. Everything in the kingdom is like a grain of mustard seed, so small, but it grows to such a tremendous growth. Now, you can understand that if you have a major need in your life, I mean a major need, and if you can liken the growth of your faith to the growth of that tree, that plant, that mustard plant, grows to 12, 15 foot. And let's say that the need that you have in your life is going to take about 9 foot of faith. And you've been growing in faith ever since you've been born again. But your faith is only at about 2 foot, 3 foot high. You've got to have 9 foot of faith in order to break through to your victory. And here you are at about 2 to 3 foot of faith. This is why we teach you all the time about your confession. I think some people think that God has recording angels that are charting down how often you confess. And when you hit the certain amount for that certain need, you'll get your victory. That isn't how it works. The more you're saying the word, the more you're hearing the word, the more you're confessing the word, the more your faith is being built up and growing. When you come to a major battle in your life, and the battle is bigger than your faith level, you got to listen to the word, work the word, get that word of God going inside of you to get your faith level up to the level of your breakthrough, to the level of your victory. Are you with me? You see that? So it's like the grain of mustard seed. It has great potential of great growth. Some suggest that just that little bit of faith, but that's not what he's saying here. The teaching goes on to say that that little bit of faith has to be planted. I mean, if you got that little bit of faith and you'll plant that faith, get that faith into the ground, that then it can produce like the mustard plant. Well, see, first of all, I don't plant that faith in my life. God planted the fruit of the Spirit in my life when I got born again. So he's the one that planted that inside of me. And now because it's planted on the inside of me, it can grow and develop as I'm moving forward in growing it and developing it. Now let me back up and try to say that real simple. If you're not growing and developing your faith by working the word, hearing the word of God, confessing the word of God, you're not going to grow in it. You're not going to develop in your faith. So we've got to press in there and move in there for that growth. Are you with me now? Still with me? All right. Now, there's some interesting things about the mustard seed. And here's what I want you to understand, beloved. We have spent our teaching on the seed. And the important thing in this whole thing is not the seed. It's the plant. You got that little bitty seed. If that's all you ever have, you didn't accomplish anything. You didn't go anywhere. It's the plant that makes the difference. It's the growth in the plant that we're after. And it isn't that we can walk around and say, well, praise God, I got a mustard seed of faith. No, no. You got faith that grows like the grain of mustard seed. It's growing. It's developing. It's getting bigger and stronger. And it's developing more and more and more. Now, there's something interesting about a mustard seed. The farmers that farm these things, and let me explain this to you. I like to use the black mustard seed like they had in Palestine because it would grow to 12 to 15 foot tall. The majority of mustard plants, the white mustard, the brown mustard, are actually only about 3 to 4 feet tall. But it's easier for us to see that comparison when you got the potential of a 15-foot plant. So the average mustard plant only gets up to 3 to 4 foot tall. But you see, the importance is in the plant. It isn't in the seed. The seed is only the illustration of how small it starts. But once it starts, then it's the plant that makes the difference. So that the plant is representative of your faith that started out as just that little bitty seed. And that little bitty seed is growing, it's developing, growing and developing in your life. Now, the farmers who farm mustard plants will sometimes they'll plant mustard in this field, and then they don't plant mustard in it the next year. And sometimes even longer than that. But the mustard plant, the mustard seed can be planted before winter, and it will not grow until the conditions of the soil are right. And the farmers will tell you that sometimes the following year, that mustard seed will finally start to grow. Why? Because maybe it was planted too deep or whatever it was. The conditions weren't right. And one of the farmers said this. He said, I've seen 20 years later when that mustard seed finally sprung up and grew. Now, what does that tell us about this faith being like a grain of mustard seed? Your faith's not going to grow until the soil's right. The condition of your life, the condition of your heart has to be right before your faith is going to grow. When you go to a church and they preach to you and they say, God will kill your baby because he needs a little flower in heaven. And God will have you sick because he's trying to teach you something. And the suffering, all that kind of doctrine, you don't have conditions in the heart that your seed can grow, but that faith is still in there in mustard seed. That measure is still there that if you ever get the right conditions in your heart, your faith will start growing. 20 years before that seed finds the right conditions and springs up and grows. 20 years that it lies dormant. I've known Christians that have gone longer than that. You know, I mean, they go to church. I remember another church I pastored in this area. And when I first got there, I just had a real struggle accepting the way things were done. I remember sitting on the platform while staff, I inherited my staff, and staff would get up and they would say, I know that we've come here today with all of our hurts and the battles that we've been going through and the pains that you have in your life today. And I want you to know that we're here to love you and to care for you through that. And I thought, dear Jesus, if you go to church with victory, they'd steal it with you before you got home. You know, there's no conditions in your soil when you're hearing that kind of stuff to bear any kind of faith. Your faith can't grow, but it lies there faithfully waiting until the conditions of the heart are such that it can start to spring up and grow, and then it will begin to produce. 1 Peter 1:23. 1 Peter 1 and verse number 23. Mike and Rhonda, you heard me preach on this, didn't you? Amen. Get a double dip here. I just, you know, when God gives you something, you just want to share it. And I was planning on going another direction, but I've just felt the Holy Spirit pulling me here all day. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, you know that most seeds that will lie in the ground for 20 years would have corrupted. They would have decayed. They would have corrupted. They would not come forth. But that mustard seed lies there waiting for the conditions to become right. And when the conditions are right, it springs up and it begins to grow. And that's exactly the way Christians are. We still have that measure of faith, but it's waiting for the conditions to get right. Another thing that about the mustard seed is that the mustard plant is one of the seediest plants that the farmer deals with. For example, if the farmer plants something like wheat, he'll get about 50 seeds in return for one seed. But when he plants that little mustard seed, he'll get from 250 to 300 seeds out of one mustard seed. So in other words, that one seed produces other seeds. How does it produce other seeds? Well, I think there's a number of things that we could see in this. First of all, I can start out having my faith grow and develop in a certain area. For example, I hear about how I can put faith into use for my family and for raising my children. And so I start becoming strong in faith there. But as I start becoming strong in faith there, now I realize how my faith is working, and I start learning to work my faith on my health and on my healing. And then I move over into working my faith for finances and for financial breakthrough. And I can keep on developing because the seed of faith just keeps on producing and producing and producing after its kind. And thank God for the way that it multiplies and multiplies. And naturally, the bigger the plant, the more mature the plant, the more seeds it's going to produce. Now, if I have a mustard plant and the mustard plant produces seeds, what's in the seeds? More mustard plants. More mustard seeds. Right? So what happens when we grow in faith? What does that produce? More faith grows. And the more your faith grows and matures, the more faith there is in that faith. Go with me to Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16. Romans 1:16. Hallelujah. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God, dunamis, miracle-working power of God, unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, what? From faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, what is that telling us? It's telling us that faith has this capacity to grow from faith. And if you study out the Greek in there, here's what you're going to find. It's telling us that we can have this thing, the Word of God, grow faith into our lives. And here's what the rest of it is, so that out of that faith, more faith can grow. So you develop the faith, and out of the faith you've developed, more faith develops. That seed of the faith. And see, you can see it working in so many ways. You raise your children and you start teaching your children how to walk by faith, and you talk faith. And the seed that you're producing of faith in your life is going into their lives. And now they're walking in faith. You know, when I got a hold of the faith message and I started preaching it and teaching it, man, I'm telling you what, the devil put me through some battles to try to take that message away from me. And just every kind of imaginable battle to try to take that away. But he couldn't get it because I knew the Word. I'm not going to back down on the Word of God. And so the result is that I continue to grow in faith. And as I continue to grow in faith, more seed is there. And then I had Pastor Jack's and Patty's, and I had Pastor Phillips and Pastor Jim and Pastor Lee and Pastor Sherry. And all those are the faith that is developed in my life is producing seed that's going out into their lives. And believe it or not, you're here tonight because of some of the seed of faith that's been produced in my life. Because it was produced in Pastor's life, and now it's being produced in your life. It's just a seedy thing. I mean, it's a heavy, heavily seeded thing. Amen? Now, I have a cousin. I imagine he's still alive. I haven't heard of him for years. But we used to go to the same high school together, and Richard Hinton was his name, and Dick and his family moved to California. I think he was probably about a junior in high school when they moved. And I didn't see him again for years. Then we had some kind of a family gathering or something, and Dick was there. And when I first saw him, I wanted to laugh. He looked so funny, I just wanted to laugh. Because he had these huge, massive legs and thighs. And then his upper body was spindly. I mean, his arms looked like a couple toothpicks. And his whole upper body was little spindly body. And so I got talking to him, and I found out that he had become a mountain biker in California. So he had built up huge muscles in his lower body, but hadn't built up muscles in his upper body. That's what a lot of people do in faith. They'll develop their faith in one area, you know, like they'll really work faith for healing, and they're poor as church mouse, you know. I mean, they don't have any money. They got bills. They've got lack. They're poor, but they're healthy. Well, that's good, but how about building up the upper body too? Amen? I mean, you can imagine a guy walks around a little spindly with these great big muscular legs and thighs, and it's better to have that seed being produced in your life in all the areas of your life. Amen? So you're not satisfied to just have faith here or faith there. You want, as a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul said, if I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. In other words, he's not talking about if I just had faith in healing, or if I had faith in finances, or if I had faith for my business, or if I had faith for casual things, you know, just whatever comes up, or faith for. He said, if I had all faith, and that's what we need. We need to build up all faith in our lives, so that our faith is strong in every area, walking and living in the dynamic faith that moves mountains. Amen. You know, it's like that circle of faith. Remember the circle of faith. In that circle of faith, you start out with hope. Now, Bible hope is not a wish or a desire. Bible hope is an expectancy with pleasure. That's the definition of it. In other words, you're happy about it, and you got the hope in it. You're expecting this thing to happen. And once you see it in the Word of God, and you've got an expectancy for it to happen, what's the next thing you do? You pray the prayer of faith. As soon as you pray the prayer of faith, what happens? The battle's on. Amen? in Romans chapter 5, where it talks about it in the first few verses, it calls it tribulation. I've heard a lot of people in church call it tribulating. You know, I've been tribulating. Y'all pray for me that I'll hold out to the end. Amen. But the battle always starts. Faith is a law. And if it's a law, it's going to work the same way every time. When you release faith for a miracle from God, for a blessing from God, the battle is on. And what do you have to do? The next step is that patience or perseverance, where you don't quit. You don't give up. Haven't seen my victory yet. That's all right. I believe I received it when I prayed. And I'm not wavering off of that. I believe I received it when I prayed, and I shall have it. And you persist in it. And what's the next step? In that passage, in Romans 5, it calls it the experience. It's the victory. Now, I like it that he calls it experience, because once you got victory by your faith, now you got some experience in it. David said, I killed a lion, I killed the bear, bring on this uncircumcised Philistine. He had experience in it. Now, once you've gone, hope, the prayer of faith, the battle's on, the persistence, the perseverance, and now you got the victory and you've overcome. I'm not going to kick it, don't worry. And you've overcome, won the victory. What's the next thing? Hope. I thought we started out with hope. Why would I come back to an expectancy when I already got it? Because your expectancy is in the next thing. This thing produces seed. And you got that seed of faith in your life that you can believe. You say, well, I won that victory. Praise God, it works. Now I'm going after this. And you're developing faith upon faith upon faith. The faith that you develop is leading you into the next level, the next step of faith. Amen. You know, it's the law of accumulation. There is a law of accumulation. Go with me to Matthew 13 and verse 12. Matthew 13 and verse 12. I don't have time to teach on the law of accumulation, but you know, it works in every area of your life. Let's see what it says. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Well, I don't think that's right. Because I know that so-and-so over here, he's got all kinds of stuff. I mean, he is blessed. He's got money and everything else. And why are people giving to him when over here, here's these people that are so poor and they don't have anything? Because it's a law, a spiritual law of accumulation. The one who has much, more is given to them. When you start walking faith and more faith is developing and you have much faith, there's accumulation and more faith is coming. And it works in every area of your life. Every area of your life. Hallelujah. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whomsoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. You're not growing in faith. You're going backwards. You're moving backwards. I remember when I first started hearing a number of years ago, I first started getting some of the faith teaching. I started hearing Brother Hagin, and then Kenneth Copeland, Fred Price, and John Osteen. And those seeds started coming over into my life. And I started hearing that faith taught, and I could see men that were living it. And that we're getting the results from that faith. And I started accepting that seed into my own life and started developing and growing in faith in my own life. You've got to understand that faith cometh. You cannot be strong in faith if you're not doing something to build that faith. Selah. You know what that means? Pause and think about that. You can't grow strong in faith if you're not doing something to develop your faith. You got to understand faith cometh. You have to keep building on that faith you have, or you'll lose it. Because faith cometh. Faith isn't stationary. It doesn't develop at all when it lies dormant. You've got to build yourself up on your faith. That mustard seed is an amazing little seed. You know, the main harvest of the mustard seed is the seed itself. The smallest seed among all, Jesus said. And yet, every year, 700 million pounds of mustard is consumed. Most of it in the United States. 700 million pounds comes out of that little bitty seed. However, there isn't anything wasted on the mustard plant. On the mustard plant, the leaves and the stalks are eaten. Have you ever heard of mustard leaves? Mustard greens? Yeah, I mean so it isn't just the seed, is it? Every part of that plant is valuable and is used. The Bible says four different times, the just shall live by faith. What is produced out of that little seed, every bit of it is used. Every bit of it is valuable. Every bit of it has a purpose. The seed and the plant itself. The same way, what is produced out of faith in our lives, the just shall live by faith. We don't just have faith for our healing if I get sick. We have faith for everything. I have faith for my health. I have faith for my wealth. I have faith for my family. I have faith for my marriage. I have faith for, if you have a business, faith for your business. I sleep on faith. I wake up on faith. I fly on faith. I drive on faith. Everything we do, the just shall live by faith. Every bit of that plant is useful and valuable and consumed in our lives. Awesome. It's not the seed, it's the plant. It starts out so small, but that's the start. Don't stay at the start. That's like staying at Calvary. There are a lot of Christians who just want to stay at Calvary. Jesus didn't stay at Calvary. Folk, I love you. That's why I'm going to tell you this. But if you got a cross with Jesus hanging on it, find one that's empty, because Jesus is not hanging on the cross. He rose from the dead, and we're to walk in resurrection life, not in the cross. Yes, the cross brought us this victory, but we're past that now, to the place where we live in Him and have a move and have our being. Amen. But see, everything about my life is faith. Everything about your life is faith. Sometimes I set an alarm. A lot of times I don't. I just tell the Lord, "Lord, I want to wake up tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock or whatever time it is." And, God will wake you up. You just wake up at that time. He has a tendency to be about 5 minutes early. I don't know if he has a snooze or what. But, you know, and you go to sleep by faith. I hear these people talk about, I can't sleep. I don't sleep. I can't sleep. I toss and turn. And it's always amusing to me. I was awake at 2 o'clock. I was awake at 3 o'clock. I was awake at 3:30. I was awake at 4. And I just want to ask them, why are you looking at a clock? You can't sleep with your eyes open. That's your problem. You know, shut your eyes, turn off your mind, and go to sleep. He gives His beloved sleep. So we sleep by faith. Amen. You have a hard time sleeping. You need to crawl into bed. And when you crawl into bed, you need to say, "I thank you, Lord." You give your beloved sleep. "I sleep well all night long." Amen. So what happens when I wake up an hour later? Say, "I thank you, Lord, that I'm still sleeping. And I sleep well." You sleep by faith. When we eat by faith. You better eat by faith. We don't know what's up with our food, do we? I mean, everything we eat, they tell us it's bad for us. And then if you read another article on a different page, it tells you it's okay for you. Don't drink coffee. Coffee's bad for you. And then they tell you it's one of the best things you can. They don't know what they're talking about. Don't eat eggs. It'll raise your cholesterol. And then you read the next article and it says that there's quality in the egg. You don't know what. So you just pray over it and eat it, whatever you eat. Amen. It's blessed and sanctified, set apart by the word of God and by prayer. Amen. So everything we do by faith. You know, in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." Now, in the New Testament, it quotes, "The just shall live by faith." Back there in the Old Testament, it says, "The just shall live by his faith." Some people preach it by his faith. Well, that'll work because he gave us that measure of faith. But when it boils right down to it, you're going to live by your faith. You can go for a while on mama's faith. You can go for a while on pastor's faith. But you're going to cross the place where you've got to have your faith, and it's your faith that's going to bring you the victory. And if you keep clamoring to try to get one of the other prayer partners or somebody else to have enough faith for you, you're going to frustrate the circumstance because you're going to have to walk it out by your faith. Amen? The just shall live by his faith. So the leaves and the stems are also eaten. And then there's a yellow bed of flowers on the mustard seed. I'm told that if you fly over a field of mustard, it looks like this big mattress of beautiful yellow flowers. Or even driving along when you approach the field, it's a beautiful field of yellow flowers. You know, I'm trying to look around here and see who I knew before you were saved. I don't think there's one of you I knew before you were saved. But I can tell you this. Did I know you before you were saved? I can tell you this about it. You look a lot better now than you did before you were saved. Uh-huh. And when you were out there in the world, there was something about you that sin just left its mark, didn't it? You look at the world and it was so funny. It was so funny. I got an email one day, and it was a picture of about six or seven old people. And it said photo by, and it's named some kind of a photo program, you know, like online or something, or that you could download. And I thought, why would they use those old people for their models to show off their software? And the next day, I got an email from my high school class that was a picture of my classmates. They had sent me a picture of the classmates that had gone to the reunion, and it was a bunch of old people. But, Jesus, God, help them. They're in trouble. They look terrible, old and beat up, and it was amazing. At first it was so funny, and then it was a little embarrassing. I mean, you know, but see, the Bible tells us that God adds beauty for ashes. And just like that mustard plant, I'm telling you what, when faith starts to grow and develop, God will make you better looking. He says in 1 Peter chapter 3, when he's talking to the woman, he gives women a beauty lesson right there. He said, the real beauty in your life is that meek and quiet spirit, which is of God, of great value and of great price. And I'll tell you, when you find a woman with a meek and quiet spirit, that's of great value, isn't it? Great value, because that's an inner beauty. I remember I worked at when I did radio programs when I lived back in Illinois. I'd go to the station, and I'd get in Studio B, and I'd make my programs right there. I'd tape them, and I'd do a whole week at a time. Sometimes I might do 2 weeks at a time. And the disc jockey there that would play all the music during the daytime and so on was a big old burly guy. And, you know, he and I would engage in conversation every now and then, and we'd joke with each other and everything. And one day we just got talking. We had sat down. We were talking together for a little while. And he started telling me about his past. And he was a bad, bad sinner and ran in gangs. And he said, we used to be so mean. He said, we'd just dream up stuff to be mean. He said, one time we made this guy lie down in the road up against the curb like this, and then bashed his head and knocked out his teeth. And he said, we just dream up stuff to be mean and cruel. Well, he's a teddy bear then. I mean, after he got saved, big old teddy bear, nice guy. He was just a loving guy, friendly as he could be. God took the ugly out of him and gave him beauty for ashes. I'm telling you, when somebody walks in God and that faith is growing and developing in their lives, you say, well, Pastor, if faith is growing in their lives, it doesn't mean they're growing in love. Contraire, my friend. Faith worketh by. So your faith isn't going to work if you're not also growing in love. And so the more you grow in Him, the more you grow in that love of God, the more beauty comes out of your life. Faith brings beauty out of your life. Amen? Why? Because it's the inner man of the heart. It's the inside of you that really makes that beauty in your life. Oh, I like that. That doesn't stand to reason. Well, maybe it doesn't. But the bees love mustard plants because of those flowers. You know how much? According to record, a beehive will produce 60 pounds of honey in a year. If the beehive is near a mustard field, it will do that in 5 days. That's how much they love the mustard plant. So that mustard plant that all we've thought about is the little seed is producing beauty. All of it is available and all of it affects our lives. Plus the fact that out of that mustard plant is coming a sweetness, the sweetness of honey that is being mass produced because of that mustard seed that is growing up and developing. Well, what does that talk about? What's that say to us? Genesis chapter 12, verse number 2. You can turn over there quick if you want to, or just listen. God said to Abraham, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Sweetness is going to come out of your life. When you're around other people, sweetness is going to come out. Waiters are going to fight over your table because they know what kind of tipper you are. Sweetness comes out of your life. I mean, you're good to people. You go out of your way to help people. You're kind to people. You don't say harsh words to them. We talk often about going to restaurants and everything. But even in that, there are many people that can't do anything but complain and chew the waiter out. But when you're walking in the love of God that works that faith in your life, there's a sweetness about it. And when that person comes, I don't remember where we had gone, but Pastor David and Pastor Jim and myself had gone on a jaunt somewhere over toward eastern Kentucky. And on the way back, we saw one of those stands, you know, what is it, blizzards or something, DQ or, you know, some, you know, amen. I'm trying to act like I don't know too much about that stuff. But we pulled in to the Dairy Queen, and we went up the counter, and nobody's there. And so we stand, and we wait, and we hear a little noise in the background, know that they heard us come in. And so we kind of said, hello, is anybody here? And finally, this grumpy girl came out, and like we were disturbing her day. And what do you want? And so we ordered, and we tried to joke with her a little bit. She's not in a joking mood. I mean, she's this cranky little old woman here. So finally she makes our ice cream, our blizzards, whatever we got. And we took them in and we paid her. And after we paid her, we left her a tip and said, here, we just want to bless you. You have a good day. And she looked so embarrassed. Now, most people, that's not what they'd have been finding the manager or calling the manager or complaining. But sweetness comes out of somebody who's growing in faith because you know that the cruelness and the harshness and the bitterness and negative stuff you can say doesn't help anybody, doesn't build anybody, right? But the sweetness does. And so multiplied sweetness comes out of the life of that person who is walking and developing and growing in that faith. When I tell you that every bit of that mustard plant is used, I'm telling you, every bit of it is used. Hallelujah. Now, go with me to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And let's wrap it up here. Are you there? And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey you. Now, I mentioned this earlier, but this is in the middle of just a bunch of teaching Jesus is doing. He's teaching about Lazarus and the rich man, one going to hell and the other one going to paradise. He's teaching about this and about that in the kingdom, and about forgiveness and about not taking offense. And as he's teaching along, the disciples said, hey, Lord, increase our faith. I mean, you know that the only way miracles happen is by faith. And all of us have that same kind of an attitude, I think, as Christians. Lord, increase our faith. Now, some believe that Jesus kind of reprimanded them for it and said, well, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, that's not what's going on here. Jesus never did that when they asked honest questions. He gave them honest answers. And he said, well, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, what is he saying here? Is he putting them down? Increase our faith. He's saying it's like a grain of mustard seed. It starts out small, but it has the great potential of growth. He said everything in the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. What's that mean? It means it starts out small, can grow huge, can grow large, and be a blessing everywhere. Now, he says in verse 6, the Lord said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not, or I think not. So likewise you, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded, you say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. But what is this all about? What is Jesus talking about? They said, increase our faith. Have faith like a grain of mustard seed. And then he says, which one of you, if you have a servant, works for you, and he's out in the field all day long, he's working in the field, toiling in the field, and then when he comes into the house, you don't say, well, you know, you're probably tired after a rough day. Why don't you sit down and relax a while? No, no. You say to him, all right, now go ahead and get the dinner ready here. And when the dinner is ready and served and cleaned up, you don't stop and say, thank you for what you've done. Because he's a servant and he does what he's told to do, and that's all. Now, what does that have to do? And then he concludes it with this thing where he says, so after you've done all those things commanded of you, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. What in the world is he talking about? He's answering the question. They said, increase our faith. And he's telling them, your faith is like a servant. He doesn't change subjects. He doesn't switch over and say, well, listen, let me explain to you how worthless you guys are. You work in the field all day long and you come in, you don't expect the Lord to thank you for what you've done. As a matter of fact, you need to keep working then, and then don't expect him to thank you. You're still worthless servants. Would Jesus say that? Of course not. That's not what he's saying. He's saying your faith. Your faith is out working all day in the field. You're out in your job, and you're working your faith to get your job done, to see your business increase and grow, to see more things happen. And when you come home, you don't leave your servant out in the field. You bring that faith at home, and you work your faith for your marriage and for your children and for your house and for your car and for your stuff. You keep that faith working all the time, and you don't stop and thank the faith for what it's done. All right, now, you may think I've really flipped out when I say this, but did you notice that I haven't bragged once about the fact that I've stood on the floor through this entire message? I didn't say, I hope you notice how good I am. I've kept both feet on the floor. There's not one time that I've gone up into the air. Not once. I've kept both feet on the floor. You'd think I was really stupid. But that's the same way if we start bragging about our faith. Because faith is a spiritual law. And if you work that spiritual law, you have nothing to brag about. You've just done what the spiritual law does, and it produces what it's supposed to produce. So when you've worked the faith in the field all day, you come in and you work it at home, you work it in your house, that faith, it doesn't receive any glory. It is a spiritual law of how we walk our faith, how we develop our faith, how we live our lives, and the just shall live by faith. Well, let's go to Scripture. Go with me to Romans chapter 3 and verse number 27. Romans 3, 27. This verse talks about the law of faith. Faith is a law. Let me come back here and explain this. I don't want anybody to miss that. Why did I stay on the floor the whole time? Because of gravity. There's a law that keeps me on the floor. Right? I don't have to worry about whether gravity is going to work. It's a law. Faith is a law. You don't have to worry whether faith is going to work. You just work the faith and do what faith does, and it'll work. And so we can't go around and say, well, bless God, I got this victory, and I've done this, and I've done that. All you've done is work a law. That's all. When that airplane goes down the runway and it starts taking off into the sky, that you don't hear the pilot come on the speaker and say, I'm good. I made this airplane fly. He's just working laws. He's working that law of thrust and lift and going down that runway. And when he works the laws will work. This says in verse 327 of Romans, where is boasting then? It's excluded. Well, we can't brag about what we see done. We can't brag about our victories. Why? It's excluded by what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. So our faith is working constantly in every direction, working in our lives and bringing about victory in our lives. Go to one more verse, Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Romans 12, 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, seriously, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Don't start getting all puffed up because you walk something out by faith, or bragging because of the victory. Paul said, God forbid I should glory save in the cross. In other words, my glory is in what Jesus has done. And I just worked the law. I just did what faith does. And this is what came out of that plant, out of my life, as that seed began to grow and grow and develop. Let me say it again. It's not the seed. It's how small the seed was. It's the plant. That's what it's all about. Your faith is that plant, and every bit of it is used in the kingdom of God. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. What? That you love one another, right? I mean, we're satisfied by our walk in faith. Everything is about faith. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, we are grateful tonight for the love of God, grateful for the word of God, and thankful for what you've done in our hearts and in our lives. I thank you for each one that is here. And I thank you, Lord, because we're a people that desire to grow into that strong faith. We want mountain-moving faith. We want to grow to the place where when we believe for things, they're done quickly, immediately, because our faith level is built up. And our faith has become strong. We want our faith to show forth the glory of God, the power of God, and the blessing of God. Now, Father, I pray tonight for those who are here. You know our lives. You know our needs. The word says you know our downsettings, our uprisings, and our thoughts afar off. And I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that every need will be met tonight, that you'll touch the lives, touch the bodies, Lord, and bring victory, and we'll give you the praise for it. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, praise God. I'll tell you, it's so awesome to see how God works and how God moves, and to see the miracles of God. I rejoice that our churches are all seeing miracles. I know you're seeing them here. We see them in Lexington. We just Pastor Lee just shared the other day about a man that he had prayed for that had cancer and has come back with a clean bill of health. The cancer is gone. We're seeing that happen all the time. Some of it, people in our own body, others. We have people that are calling, people that are emailing, wanting us to pray. And then we get the report back after we've prayed that that the healing happened and whatever it is. You know, we go and see people by the score. I was in Monterrey about 2 weeks ago, Monterrey, Mexico, and we had some time there. I'm telling you what, it'd take a while to tell you what all happened, but or even to tell you part of it. But one of the things that happened is Monterrey is the highest level of crime in all of Mexico per capita, even higher than Mexico City, which is saying something really bad. And the chief of police and one of his three right-hand men have gotten saved. And since they've gotten saved, crime has taken a total different, it's taken a total change. Where there were about 450 cars being stolen a month, now it's 100. They said arrests have been easier. They said yesterday we arrested 20 kidnappers, and that's a big crime there in that Monterrey area. We'll drive down the street and see the trunk of a taxi cab open with a dead body laying in it. And that's not unusual to see, but we've seen it. And they arrested 20 kidnappers. They said as soon as we put them in the police car, they started spilling their guts, confessing everything, telling them where people were, and they said total change. And so they've worked this thing out with about a dozen pastors to come twice a month and minister to the entire police force in not in Monterrey, but in Guadalupe, which is Guadalupe, Monterrey. I mean, it's a part of Monterrey. There's Monterrey, Monterrey, and Guadalupe, Monterrey. So they had their first meeting while I was there and asked me if I would speak to them for a few minutes. So here we are. Let's see. It was probably like from the beginning of this aisle to that pillar, a hallway, 300 policemen lined up in that hallway, standing there for an hour and a half, sang praise and worship, then preached at them, prayed over them. I mean, I'm telling you. And they said, whenever you come back, let us know when you're coming. We want you to minister to our policemen again. The next day was Sunday, and Sunday I preached all day long. I mean, preached and prayed for the sick. Church in the afternoon was the one where the chief of police and his right-hand man attend. And I preached there. Then Pastor Jim went on one end. I went on the other. We prayed for people for an hour and a half or more. I mean, and the healings were quick. It wasn't like we spent a long time with everybody. It was just rapid. I mean, as quick as we'd pray, the manifestation would come. Every kind of illness, every kind of sickness. One of our favorite then, Pastor Jim prayed for this little girl that was flat-footed and extremely pigeon-toed, so much so that she'd step on her own feet when she'd try to walk. So she just wasn't able to walk. God straightened out those feet, put arches in them, and she was walking perfectly. This one woman, this was on Saturday night, she came up and she said, I have a herniated disc, and I have a lot of pain in it. The doctor is going to do surgery on it next week. And I said, I have an idea. Let's do surgery on it tonight, okay? And she just kind of looked at me like she wasn't sure where I was coming from. I laid hands on her and prayed for her, and she stood frozen. She couldn't move, shaking, violently shaking for about 5 minutes crying. And everybody around there, they were all scared. They thought, you know, I really messed her up. She came up here with a herniated disc, and now look what you've done to her. But, you know, when she quit shaking, every bit of pain was gone. She could press around, move around, and God had healed that. He did surgery on it that night. So I'm telling you what, God is on the throne. Doesn't matter where we go. I had somebody tell me several months ago, they said, oh, it's wonderful what's happening there in Peru. But, you know, you go to foreign countries and you can see miracles. It's just hard to see them here at home. I said, that is not the truth. I'm not going to believe that. You start believing that and saying that, and that's exactly what your faith's going to produce. God will do miracles here in the United States as quick as he will any place else in the world. And if you have need of a miracle, I'm telling you, God is here tonight to do your miracle. Amen? Whatever it is, God is here to do it. So if you need a healing in your body, especially if you have a lot of pain in your body, don't go home with that. Come up here and let's get rid of it. You need a healing in your body? Come on up. Let's get rid of it, shall we? Amen? Anybody? Come on up if you need a healing.